Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Love Story Podcast. Typically, we tell love stories. Today, however, we're going to tell some generally disgruntled stories. So, for your listening pleasure, please tune in to a guest host and guests to tell the things that they are generally disgruntled about. Enjoy. Happy April Fool's Day.
Welcome to the episode today. I'm Ryan Shep from Cream City Tattoo and SubparPhotos.com. Today I have a guest, Paul and Justin, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Paul Hahn.
Beekeeper extraordinaire.
Yeah, beekeeper, pollinator.
By hobbyist.
Yes, been given the name pollinator by Ashley, so yeah.
I'm Justin Wendland. I work for the Benton County Sheriff's Office, taking phone calls and sending people around. Been friends with Ashley for a while, and Ryan and Paul here with Cigar Club for, what is it, 4 or 5 years now, huh?
Yeah, we are the heavy hitters of the Cigar Club. Today, we've been instructed, and I have become the host for today because I think Ashley thinks that I am a disgruntled person, but man, boy, if she was here, I'd have a mouthful right now. I'm going to host this today because she thought it would be neat to go against the grain of the podcast that she hosts, the Love Story Podcast. So today we're going to talk about not what's cool and lovey-dovey. We're going to talk about some irritations. So I figured we could get on the topic of must be nice. I particularly hate that phrase over the last few years. I think I've coined that. A lot of my friends think I have too. I should probably make stickers for vehicles at this point because there's something really wrong with Midwesterners, particularly here in the centralized Minnesotan area. It is very difficult for people to be happy for each other without causing some kind of jealousy interaction there. Do you guys have anything you want to touch on?
Hashtag must be nice.
Yeah.
That's your bumper sticker right there. Start placing it around.
I think that when I chime in on this, I come from not just a generalized person, but I'm also a small business operator. And as soon as you own some kind of small business here and anywhere, let's just go with anywhere. We don't want to offend all of Stearns County right now. But if you're going to talk to a small business owner, there's some kind of weird nuance that you think they are a goddamn millionaire. And that is oftentimes not the case. A lot of times, at tons of different times, we could be struggling like you have never seen. The duck feet under the water, right? The duck is just kind of cruising on the lake and the feet are hauling some ass. That's a small business owner. At times, we have a tendency to make things look pretty swell, but that's usually because we're faulting on some other things at that particular time too. But I find, and I talked to a lot of different business owners in this, when the people of the world see that you have something and don't realize the hard work that went behind it to get it. Also, you never know who's doing what. Long ago, I hate starting the stories long ago. I'm old, I'm 47 years old now. Long ago, I had a buddy who had his mom die in his 20s and started buying all these different cars. And I was like, man, that's neat, but his mom's gone. And everybody else was like, how do you get that? I was like, dude, just skip the jealousy, you know, skip it. Yeah, sure, it's nice, but you don't know the whole story. That just sucks. And I feel that that's kind of like what that basis is for me when I see people. We'll get into something else later about arguing online, but I think this goes right into that because you can't post nothing good about yourself without the rest of the world being like, where's my keyboard?
Well, I think a big part of, like, up until seeing Ashley and seeing you and some other people that I've known, you know, with the small businesses, if you work a 9-to-5, you have no idea. Because you punch in and you punch out. You don't see the 7 days a week that some of our friends work, that I've seen you work. You know, you don't see the work until midnight on something special. And it's all that little extra. That's how you get ahead.
Yeah.
You know?
Or at least it feels like that.
Some days at least. And then that's what it is. It's like people think that they should be able to do just 9-to-5 and then do just as well as people that are working twice as much. And it's like, well, that's how they got there.
Yeah.
You know? That's exactly what you say. And it's basically like social media. They only see the outside or what you let them see. They don't see everything behind the scenes. Yeah. You know, Facebook, you only see everybody's fun pictures.
Yeah.
Most of them aren't, all the struggles that they're having aren't necessarily there. Unless they're vague booking, of course. And, you know, looking for some, sorry, so sorry to hear that.
But. Yeah, it's the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
I particularly wonder sometimes when you haven't seen somebody post for 3 or 4 weeks and then all of a sudden they come out with a new selfie or just something, just anything at that point, I think it'd be a good time to ring their bell and chime in and at least like whatever post they made, whether you like it or not, and just show that you might care, give a shit, something like that, because they might have had the worst 3 weeks of their life and now they're just finally ready to come out and post something or show their face for a minute. That'd be the time to get in there with a good comment.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that. Somebody who I used to know, I still know the person, spend a lot of time tearing people down, post, and it's like, that's just what they do. And it's like, be happy for people. I see, and what you and Ashley, you know, like I said, because we're in this club, you know, the cigar club that we do, and you guys are constantly thinking of stuff and just networking and working your butts off. And if you're not willing to do stuff like that, don't expect to, well, it must be nice to have that. You can't just say that.
Yeah, what really gets me over the last few years too is with the laughing and joking about the whole must be nice thing is, you know, I'm a car guy, and all my car guy buddies, you know, we always laugh and joke about this, and somebody's like, well, how do you have that? I'm going to go back to when I was a kid, let's say just after high school, 17, 18 years old. We'd go to the street races in Milwaukee, and somebody'd come rolling up in some, you know, back then, $50,000 car. You were getting, without going exotics, you were getting a really nice, hard-to-get vehicle, like, let's say, a 93 Toyota Supra. That was about $55,000 car. And secretly to my friends, I'd be like, who the hell is that, and what do they do for a living? I'm not pissed mm-hmm. about it, but I'm like, where's my notepad? They run a small business. Okay, what do they do there? Oh, they make caster wheels or something. Like, okay, well, I get it now. Now, it's not going to work for me if I continue to make $10 an hour, so noted. I'm not salty about it. That dude's 37 years old or whatever it was, you know? He's been in his career for 10, 15 years, whoever these people were. Like, I'm not salty about it. But the people that my car guy friends and I see, when you see somebody that's just got an open wound with salt on it because somebody's got a newer car, dude, look around. Those people that might be salty because you just saw somebody pull up in a brand new King Ranch or a brand new Corvette or whatever the hell it is, that's because, like, if I have one of those, I don't have 35-foot-long fish house. I don't have a cabin in the woods. And I'm going to go off on a little tangent here for all you Minnesotans that want to be super humble. It ain't a cabin in the woods if it's got running water and a toilet, you shithead. Okay, let's figure this out. When I was growing up, my dad's friend had a cabin. We went to it once. It was like an hour and a half away. We put all our bikes in this little crappy boat, went to the lake, whatever. There was no running water. It was a cabin in the woods. It barely had a driveway. It had a pump outside for the water, and we had to go shit in that box with spiders out there if you needed to. That's a cabin. When I moved to St. Cloud and everybody said they had a cabin up north, I found out those cabins are bigger than the homes that they usually have here. They have paved driveways and four toilets and a lot of food in the fridge and a camper and. That is a lake home. Get over it. Get over your humble shit. That is a lake home. Just own up to it. Skip that stupid fake Minnesota humble stuff. So if we're going to reverse that must be nice thing because somebody might be driving a new car and doesn't have all that, you know, you never know who's who. Maybe all the aunts and uncles and moms and dads put in on that cabin property, but it's a lake home. Lake home.
Well, it's priorities. And that's what it comes down to is somebody sees you with the nice car. Well, that's what you prioritize. You may not have the lake home. You may not have a house that's too big for your family. You might have a smaller house, but that allows you to get the Corvette, the mm-hmm. supercars and stuff because you save up and you work hard for it. Yep. Maybe you don't take as many trips as you would like because, hey, the vehicle's the priority or whatever the, you know, priority might be, whatever you're into.
Here's something to think about, too. I thought about this the other day when I was showing a couple of my other buddy. I told you guys, finally placed another cigar order because I've just been shopping local with the little onesie-twosie brick and mortar for the past year. But I finally, you know, placed an order for some few boxes of cigars and stuff and got them in. And I showed them to my other batch of buddies that aren't really cigar guys. One of them is. And one of the guys was like, okay, I'm not really that in tune with that, but that looks like a lot of money. How much was that? Oh, it was several hundred dollars. But guess what? Those guys are beer guys. I'm going to throw out a really weird fact right now. I'm 47 years old, and I'd probably capitalize the word N on this one. I've never bought a beer. If I have, it's been like, oh, somebody, we're having a get together and I need beer for what's everybody's choice. Okay, I'll buy a beer to sit there. And maybe that's been like once or twice in my life, but I didn't have any. Or maybe you go to Bad Habit. I'm not a beer person. I'm a mixed drink person. But at Bad Habit, they got lots of slushy looking stuff and they still categorize that as beer. So I guess maybe I've bought a beer. But I've never bought beer. Do you know how much money I've saved by never buying beer at 47 years old? I'll take a few boxes of cigars.
Yeah, that's priorities once again. Like, you know, the case of beer every week, you know, a few cigars, same amount of money.
It's Stearns County. It's a day, just.
Okay. Yeah. We're talking the Busch Latte case, you know, a day. It's on sale. It's $22 this weekend. You're good.
People here go home with beers in their cars from work.
That's true.
Roadies.
Yeah. Well, don't forget their driving whiskey too.
Yeah, let's make a little mixed drink and stick it in the thing. Nobody will know.
Have you guys seen lately on the old TikTok when these guys, I think this might be a Southern state thing, the tube in the vehicles, primarily the tube in a truck?
I don't think I have. No?
This sounds interesting, yeah. Though.
Tell me more.
I don't know how big of a thing this is, like how many kids really ate the Tide Pods way back, right? But I've seen it probably like a dozen times already swiping through TikTok, that these guys with these big trucks will put a tube in their headliner and it goes to a reservoir with the drink in it. So they hide it in the headliner and pull it down like a Camelback, and they got their mixed drinks.
Redneck Camelback. There it is. It's perfect.
Fascinating.
Did they have the big smokestacks too on the back of the bed?
It seems like it's that crowd.
Yeah. You know, the truck nuts, the whole deal.
The sagged rear ends.
Yep.
Oh, we could go into that too. That's a big no-no in the car scene. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere thought I was a star, and somebody somewhere knew that I took 6 weeks of dance class in kindergarten, so they figured that I could handle a little shuffle ball change and a little dazzling dance action. So, because of that, I am dancing for Dancing with Our Stars on June 9th at the Garacki Center, and my charity of choice is the Open Heart Home, and that is a charity that supports teen moms, educating, supporting, housing, helping take care of everybody, and making sure that they are safe and secure and educated on how to now go out into the world and raise a little. So, as a former teen mom, that speaks near and dear to my heart, and that is why I do what I do. So, if I dance and make a fool of myself, it's all in the name of teenage moms and supporting some of our most vulnerable in society. So, if you are compelled to donate, you can click the link in the comments, and we'll see you there.
Welcome to Green Thumb Etc., home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com. Or Facebook or Instagram at Green Thumb, etc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon, audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast After Dark.
How about for topic number two, we get into arguing online. I know a lot of people might think that I'm brash, but when I wake up in the morning, I try not to be instantly annoyed by waking up, scrolling through Facebook, checking a couple emails, maybe looking at Instagram, TikTok, something like that. And I see people just arguing right away. It happened yesterday when I woke up. I'm looking at my Facebook and I run across one of my acquaintance friends and she had just been arguing with somebody. Every comment is paragraphs long. I'm like, holy shit, you got to be kidding me. These are happening like an hour ago. They woke up and she's arguing with somebody on a Saturday morning at like 7 o'clock in the morning, just paragraphs of hatred about political stuff. I'm like, this is unbelievable to me.
You got a lot of time on your hands to want to sit there and do that. I mean, I don't know what they're gaining by it.
Right.
I mean,
especially when, you know, I'm looking at this person arguing with this other person. I don't know the other person. That name wasn't familiar to me. But I've experienced when I would post stuff on the internet, business related or whatever, or sharing an article or something, and then I go back hours later and I see some people on my comments that all of a sudden, you know, you let the kids run rampant in the room while you're not looking. And all of a sudden, 8 hours later after a tattoo, I go back and look and realize that there's like just comments and hatred and tools flying and shit on the page. I'm like, oh my God, you guys, I'll look at who's arguing with who. I'm dying knowing that, like, if these people would just shut up, those two particular people that had been arguing, if they would have met in real life under a scenario like this, like, hey, let's get together and just have a beverage or something, there's still a lot of camaraderie there. And I might not agree with something that you say or something that you say, but we're still having a good time talking about it. Where these people are just like, no, and they're going for big air. That shit blows my mind, because those people would probably get along with each other in the real world. And I might know that they live blocks away from each other, but to them, they're just strangers. And now they're arguing on my page. They're shitting in the whole page, and I got to delete the post.
It's just being online. It's once again, I mean, COVID actually, you know, proved the theory, right? But it's being in person. It changes everything. You realize that it is another person. It's not just an online ego or whatever it is that you're arguing with. Like, in person, you're like, well, this is a real person. They work here. They do this. They take care of their family, their friends, like, why would I be mad at this person? You know, they just see the world from a different view. We used to be able to talk about even politics back in the day without hating each other. Be like, hey, we're friends, but, you know, we disagree on this. What do you think about this? Okay, that makes sense. You know, I see it from your point of view. That's just not what I agree with. You know, great. We can still go have a drink together.
Yeah.
You know, these days it's such a divide, and it's too hard to talk to. And it's almost like you can't be friends with somebody that thinks differently, which, you know, to me, that's an important thing about being a well-rounded person, is that you can see it from other people's point of view. And it feels like today we're kind of losing that, you know, like, they, you know, I might not agree, but, you know, some of your points make sense from your life and from your experiences.
Agree to disagree.
Everybody's... It's easy to sit back and be a keyboard warrior. When you actually have somebody in front of you and that person, they don't say anything about it. It's easy to sit back and they're going to type everything and add some, you know, and then there it is.
Well, you know, when you used to mouth off to somebody when you were a kid, what happened? Boom, right in the kisser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's getting punched in the face or punched in the throat anymore for mouthing off to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not scared online. They can be anonymous half the time, you know, and that's what it is they think they're safe then. There's no consequence to ruining somebody's day anymore.
I know Paul and I have had a lot of conversations recently about people that we've been with in the past. And generally speaking, I think we can both chime in on this one, that we've both been with people that like to start arguments on the internet. And I'll keep this as general as possible, but there's been times I've been in the car with somebody and, you know, conversation's been going great, and then all of a sudden you go quiet for a minute or two, looking out the window, going down Highway 10, and then all of a sudden they go on the internet and start arguing with a stranger, and now all of a sudden it turns into us arguing and me trying to support the argument. I'm like, I don't know, I'm not even on my phone. I don't want to talk to that person. Do you even know who you're arguing with? You're arguing with a stranger on the internet. That shit blows my mind, because chances are you think you're arguing with another person that's like-minded like you, but you haven't even gone into their profile to figure out who they are, where they live, or how old this person might be. Think about this for a second. They might be arguing with probably what might be a 13-year-old boy on the internet. It is impersonating a middle-aged woman just trying to piss that person off. That shit is super funny to me.
It is.
Yeah. There's a good chance of that.
I have witnessed that firsthand many times, because I was talked to about it. Like, I was, you know, trying to get pulled in and let's be on this person's side about it. Like,
you're not supporting me.
What are we doing? You got nothing better to do to sit back and do this and just sit on your phone all day long? Be productive. Do something.
We have how many baby boomers cheaped out and didn't even get the set of encyclopedias, right? I'm like, we don't need that from the guy at the door. But now we have the encyclopedia at our fingertips on our phones. And like, I'm addicted to learning. I found this out 10 years ago about myself. I'm addicted to learning. I love the progress in things. Sometimes some things fall off and I excel in others, but whatever, I'm addicted to learning. And instead of arguing on the internet, why the hell wouldn't you want to, at least you don't have to learn something new, but go back into one of your hobbies. Hopefully you have one, and look into that. Like, what the hell's the point of sitting there arguing with somebody when you could just look at another Facebook page on your hobby and, you know, oh, this guy put a picture of his truck up. I'm just going to like it. I got the same exact truck at home and you got the same stuff on it, but I just like it. You know, it's interesting. Instead of starting an argument, maybe start your day with liking people's posts, even if you're just running past them. Like, just like it. Maybe throw in a cool comment on that. Dude, that's awesome. Just type something like that. 5, 10, 20 things a day. That would go huge instead of just arguing with somebody online. That shit blows my mind these days. absolutely blows it.
Yeah, I get that. I see that when I'm online social. I see people that, you know, everybody, you ask any beekeeper a question about beekeeping, and you'll get 10 different answers out of 10 different.
And they're all correct.
What works. And you know what? You can still like what they're doing and actually try it. You don't need to bash somebody for it.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you ask somebody about their political views, well, there's going to start an argument. Ask somebody about their hobby once, what they're into, and their face lights up.
Yeah.
They can't wait to spew the thousands of freaking factoids that they have, you know? Especially, like, Ryan and I are both the same, that we don't just dabble into a hobby. It's full bore.
Yeah.
All the way, every little thing. We have to watch every video, every forum post, every Reddit post. Like, there isn't anything that's left out. There isn't anything we don't know about it by the time we're barely into it. You know?
We've exhausted it.
Exhausted every info.
Yeah.
Plus trying to talk to people like, hey, what about this? Have you thought about this? Let's try this, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm that way about the... Sometimes I feel like I'm not qualified enough, you know? I've taken all kinds of classes and stuff on beekeeping. I do it, but then it's like, well, to talk about it and then to teach somebody, it's like, but then you get me going on it, can't shut up sometimes, you know?
That's why we usually ask at Cigar Club, especially. We want to know too. It's really cool. Yeah. It might not be something we'd ever do ourselves, but you know, it's more of a vicariously learning thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd be surprised probably what we retain from other people's hobbies too, and Ashley talking about different flowers and plants and stuff.
Yeah.
And
I found in the last year or two of sitting in my own tattoo chair that I approach customers differently, and this makes me think of a few of my golf buddies throughout the years that have had an interesting point. They ask, they can't fathom my job because I'm a weird ass that tattoos and I sit with a client for hours at a time. You know, sometimes I don't think hairstylists are much different. If they got somebody processing color, whatever, you're with that person for potentially hours. Some of these guys I golf with are like, I don't get it. If you're sitting on your client for 6 hours, what the hell do you guys talk about that whole entire time? I'm like, well, unlike you guys that run out of shit to talk about after the Twins lose, I have a lot of things to talk about with my clients. Like, first of all, they're a human in your chair. I find out where they live, what they're doing, sometimes get too much information on it, but I just dive into their hobbies and their interests, and I don't try to be fake about it, but I'll try to at least be more I just want to hear them talk. I'm sick of hearing myself talk sometimes, you know, but like I've heard my same stories a lot, you know, but you know, hearing their story, I'm like, oh my God, that's like, oftentimes I'm hearing some absolutely fascinating stuff where I'm like, dude, that is so cool. Like, well, if you even have to like stop for a second and talk about what's going on, I'll be like, dude, I can't believe you're even doing that. Or they take some weird trip or something. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I want to hear all about that shit. And because I've taken that approach, like in my tattoo career in the last year or two, I've probably gotten, I think, the biggest tips of my life. And it might be because of that. I don't know. It's an interesting way to think about it, but it directly goes on the opposite end of the spectrum of what this topic is about, is arguing online. Why don't you just try to agree with some people and see how far the situation gets instead of being like, nope, you're wrong. It's interesting. Tell me more about that, dude. You can learn so much from people. It's crazy.
For sure.
And those people that are in my chair might not have anybody else to talk to. They might be at a job where they only see the same 15 different people, like the office, you know? Like, dude, I can't sit in a place like that, you know? I love knowing that hundreds of different people are going to be through the tattoo shop. Can you imagine what life would be like if I decided to argue with every single other tattooer in my shop's customers all day long instead of walking over and hearing their story? Like, what are you getting? Like, oh, I wanted to get it before we go on this trip to this one. I'm like, dude, tell me all about it. Can't wait to hear this. Thanks for coming in. It works so much better than waking up in the morning and be like, bah, politics, you suck.
Well, and that's part of it, though, that, you know, tattooing, hairstyling, bartending, these are all jobs that people come back because they like having the little conversations they can have in between the working, you know. You put on many different hats as those jobs, you know. You're not just doing that, whatever service that might be. It's the, oh, now you're the psychologist, you're the therapist, you know, you're the friend at the time, you know. You might have some info on hobbies they're into when they start talking. They might, oh yeah, I know that person, I've known her for years, you know. The small world syndrome, especially around here, everybody knows everybody somewhere between It's not 6 degrees of separation. It's usually one.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody's had sex with each other, too, so it's 1.5.
Or all Eskimo brothers somewhere. Yeah. That happens.
We experienced this the other day just in the cigar realm of going to Tobacco Grove, where we walk in the humidor trying, you know, sitting there. It's customary at a cigar lounge to actually not bring in your own. You support the establishment. You go look at the humidor. You pick out your cigar and you go have a seat and yip, yeah. We walk in there and see a box of cigars that's highly anticipated because it's a limited release called Amazon Basin. So Justin and I are like, dude, we got to try it. They weren't overpriced. They're just priced normal. Thankfully, that was nice. They could have definitely been outlandish, but we live in central Minnesota, so they're priced accordingly. But we picked them up, got them. I'm like, I'm looking forward to this. But there is so much heated argument in the Cigar Connoisseur Facebook page that as soon as somebody shows a picture of one of those things, you get 60 guys in a matter of 7 minutes that are all like, most overrated shit ever, that half of which probably have never had one or maybe can't afford that $15 cigar. I don't know. But there's all that kind of hatred. It goes back to, like, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. You know, now we have the experience that we both ended up liking it, and palates are different. Palates and humans are incredibly different. So what one guy likes is not going to be what this guy likes, and that's why we have so much stuff.
You know, like you said, all of a sudden somebody's like hating on it or whatever. I think it's somebody trying to flex, like, oh, I know everything there is about cigars. I'm going to flex here. I'm going to say, you know what? You may know something about this. You may have heard something about it. But so what? Maybe you guys haven't tried a cigar. Maybe I haven't tried a cigar yet. So what? Let us figure it out. If it's a shitty cigar, so what?
Yeah, I've had way more cigars than you, and you just haven't had better cigars than that. I mean, obviously, I know way more than you do, so.
Yeah, the length of doing something, I think, is very funny. I oftentimes tell people I've been, you know, tattooing for 25 years, but it sounds interesting, but I don't really try to hold it against anybody. Same in the cigar world. If somebody's, I've been smoking for 45 years. Well, they've probably smoked the same shitty stuff. Are you a cheap ass, for one? I want to hear all about that. Have you ever splurged on anything? It's like, just because you've been doing something the longest, Ford made the first car, and it sure as hell ain't the best. So it's interesting.
I think it's an outlook. I think we're the types that I want to learn everything, and I don't think I'm ever an expert at it. I think there's always somebody you can learn from, whether it's your work, your hobbies, or anything. There's always somebody that has a different idea, and you're like, how come I never thought of that? Like, that's awesome. You want to keep learning. You want to keep getting better. You want more knowledge, and that's part of it. And you forget that you can learn from everybody. You can learn something from everybody out there.
It's funny when you, like, to me, that word expert rings in my head. And out of all the things I've ever done in my life that I felt that I took interest in, hobbies or businesses or anything like that, I was a reptile guy for a really long time. And that's probably the only thing that'll ever tag the word expert in, because I do feel that I was a expert in reptile husbandry and handling, because I don't think I could have got any better at what I was doing than that. There's really good ways to keep stuff. There's always probably better ways to keep stuff. Not everything has to be in like a zoo type enclosure. But as far as like handling reptiles, I think despite maybe a few species that I haven't handled, I've handled the deadliest shit in the planet. And if you put one on the floor here today, I could probably deal with it and get it out of here in an expert fashion. But even in the world of tattooing, I don't feel that I'm a tattoo expert after 25 years. I don't even argue about it, because there's people that come out of the woodwork and they're tattooing 3, 4, 5 years doing absolutely epic stuff. There's people that have been tattooing 10 years that I feel that no matter if I put scrap every hobby in the world that I have on my plate right now and only focus on that one thing, I still won't be as good as that person, because the ideas that they have flowing out of their head and coming out of the tattoo machine, I just don't have that yet. You know, like the way they create stuff. So like, I'm not even jealous about it. I sure as hell ain't gonna argue it, you know? I think that's interesting as well. But I don't often tag the word expert onto things, and boy, are there some internet experts these days.
Well, on the internet, everybody's an expert.
That there.
And that's what you don't know, is like when you're going online, you're on your hobby, you know, Reddit, you're on your hobby message board or whatever, and somebody says, oh, that one's awful and this and that. Do you really know if they tried doing that or tried that cigar or whatever it is? You know, you don't. They might just be mad because, once again, must be nice they can afford that cigar. You know, I got my 20 for $5 in the bargain bin, you know, and that's what I got. So yes. You don't really know who is behind it and how much experience they've had with it in the first place.
Yeah, oh, especially when the cheap asses of the world want to argue that something's better just because it's cheaper, more affordable. I had a weird situation last night that I could have came off really weird. I could have came off negatively. I posted a video that I just made into a specific group, and I talked about a specific control unit inside my golf simulator. And the guy, one of the very first comments back is like, sure do like that control box. I'm like, yeah, it's really good. You know, like the battery dies after a few hours, but I can always leave it plugged in and or just plug in a battery bank to it. It's awesome. I didn't say anything negative about it. And he's like, yep, LOL. I own the company that made that. And I totally forgot the guy's name that made it. So shame on me. But I was like, dude, that's so funny. He was like, yep, I made that box. I was like, could you imagine if I just was some curmudgeon that would have scoffed at the price of it, maybe think I overpaid for it. Like, it's kind of bad. The battery runs out. Yeah. Dude, just skip it. Skip it. But I was positive about it, and then I continued after that. I'm like, yeah, you know, a lot of the guys that have simulators around me, they don't have these, they don't know of them, and they're still getting chapped asses running back and forth to the keyboard instead of buying this nice little box you can put right next to your ball. Tons of people are like, you don't need that. You don't need that. Okay, cheap ass. You don't need that. I don't need it. It sure is nice, though.
But you wanted it.
Yeah.
And you got it.
Yep, and I worked hard to get it.
Yeah, and you know,
and that was part of my business.
Really, you're gonna cheap out on your golf simulator? Yeah, there's nothing cheap about a golf simulator.
Right, it's tax deductible.
Like, just add it in. Come on, just do it right, or don't do it at all. But that's just it. People want to tell you how much they saved, right? You know, that's a big thing too. Like, you know, I did that, but I did it myself, and it saved me $1,000. And it's like a competition that who is more frugal, right?
Yeah. There's a home golf simulator page on Facebook. Have you seen that? Forget I said anything. These are the guys that are putting bed sheets up, hitting into bed sheets, doing everything. They might as well be hitting off this carpet that's underneath our feet right now. They're doing everything the most ridiculous way possible to avoid spending any kind of professionally made product. Like, dude, it's so bad. I should delete it today. I'm probably going to delete it today because it's almost painful to go in there. If you post anything about your setup or anything, you're like, oh, I didn't have to do that. I know I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to take up golf in the first place.
I appreciate the grind. They still want to play, and they're making it work within whatever. I like looking at people with like extremely cool things, like, because you can get those ideas from them, and then you're like, you know, I didn't think of doing that, and I don't need to spend $1,000 to do that. You know, sometimes it's just little things. People are much better at decorating than I would ever be. I don't have an eye for those kind of things. And sometimes those things that make it feel better, more comfortable, especially when you're talking simulator, man cave, whatever it is, your bar area.
Buy once, cry once. I like that one because mm-hmm. I have been an absolute pro in the opposite end of that market. I'll be like, I think I could get away with using this. This is affordable to me, but I really want this. And then all of a sudden you get that and you realize that you just should have, like, I like this too much. I should have just got this other one. Then you got to sell that. Dude, just buy once, cry once. I did have in the house that I lived in, like, you guys have both been to my house, but I had a rental house around the corner. And the ceiling in the basement, well, unfinished basement, ceiling was very short. I couldn't swing a full driver in there, but I could go in there and hit irons off the mat that you guys saw me have. So I bought the mat. I bought one of those crappy tents for hitting golf into. And I would hit down there. I was freezing in the basement. Like, it wasn't good. And then the tent breaks. You send one through the tent. You're like, but I'll be damned if I was online telling the guys with the cool golf simulators. I'm like, you don't need to do all that. Look at this setup I got. My shit tent in the basement. Dude, just
people will figure it out.
Yep. And if it works for them, you know, you don't need to go further. You know, think about what's important to you and then save for that and do that. That's that whole thing again. It's just like people think so many things are out of their reach, and it's not. It's just people want that instant gratification, right? Like, I can't buy it right now, so then it's too expensive, and then I'm jealous of you because you have it right now. Like, think about it. Like, I like waiting for stuff. Like, it's funny because, like, every Christmas, you know, there's presents or whatever. When you're a kid, you can't wait to open them, right? Can I open one early, this and that? Now I'm like, it's Christmas Day. I'm like, can I leave them? I kind of like knowing I have something, you know? I'll wait till end of January and open it. Like, I like the anticipation more than that because I've learned to save for the things you want. And then that's what's the fun part about it. Even sometimes you get the money, you're like, oh, I can buy that right now. And maybe I'll do this instead, you know? You realize how much it wasn't important to you and something else might be. But it's kind of that goal in mind.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, going back to cigars.
It's a good idea.
It's always a great idea.
I gotta tell you something here. So, I had a pretty decent cigar, and I was looking forward to smoking on it. You know what I hate? pull it out and you go to light it, and things like trying to light a wet piece of wood because the humidity in the humidor was a little bit too much.
Too heavy of a
draw. I screwed it up. So you screw it up, and now you got a cigar that was a damn good cigar that you were looking forward to smoking.
I've never done this, but if you just lit it and took a few puffs, this might work. Just snip
it.
End off, because you pulled some smoke through it enough to light it, but not enough to ruin the whole cigar. So if you cut that, like, the tip of the cigar off and just dry boxed it again for like another couple days, I bet you'd be able to save it. I've just pulled through a stiff draw like that before, or used a tool to...
Well, yeah, that was, you know, sitting there corkscrewing. It's like, how much I got to take out of this thing, and it's still like trying to smoke a wet piece of stick, you know, or something. And it's like,
and that's a big thing why I buy certain brands, is that they're so consistent. They always smoke very well. They stay lit, and it's just more enjoyable if you're not fighting it.
I don't know what I did, but we focus on,
like, you know, Cigar Club, where we can sit and talk. You're not worried about your cigar and making sure that it's staying lit, or it's too over, it's over humidified or whatever it is.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's no haters at the club, like, telling you that, like, you know, making you feel horrible for it.
So. You have a $1 cigar or a $100 cigar, I don't care, as long as you're having fun. I mean, that's the best thing about that, is that none of us, you know, are talking about all the, you know, oh, I get some fig from this cigar, and I get this flavor, and, you know, it's kind of salty on that end. You know, we enjoy the company, and that's what makes a good cigar. It's kind of the time, the camaraderie, you know, the drink. You know, we've kind of turned it into slightly a little bit of a whiskey club as well, because we all do enjoy a good bourbon or whiskey or flavored whiskey.
So you found a way to have that along with the cigar. So that's whiskey club. And then, you know, of course, Ashley's got the cigar club. So
yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You got to be able to do both.
Then you get on the cigar forums and see everybody argue about what somebody's pairing their cigar with. Oh, my God. That's another level.
It's that pinky's coming up on that.
Somebody posts a bottle of something that they can't get in their state, and they are livid. They are livid. Jealousy is just thick. Thanks for joining in today. That was the end of our cigar club banter. Hopefully you got something from that. Learned a little bit about each of our characters. Again, my name's Ryan from Cream City Tattoo and SubparPhotos.com. And over to my right, we have...
Paul Hahn.
And Justin Wendland.
Thanks for joining.
Yay.
Let's blow this joint.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show, and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met. We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out, info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, or head to the show notes.